It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Friday, May 22nd. I'm Patricia Naft. Earlier this week, Governor John Hickenlooper signed six police reform bills into law. One new law helped police departments buy body cameras and train officers to use them. Another says officers can't stop people from recording police encounters. Three of the six measures were sponsored by Republican Senator Ellen Roberts of Durango. KVNF's Laura Pomisano speaks to Roberts about those measures.
Ellen, tell me about the three bills relating to police reform that you sponsored that got signed into law this week.
There are a series of bills that are aimed at trying to develop stronger community relations between law enforcement and the communities they serve. The first one, Senate Bill 217, had to do with the collection of data surrounding officer-involved shootings. So when an officer is in pursuit of a suspect or some other interaction with an individual, if there is a discharge of a firearm by the officer, then data would be collected. And then that data would be collected statewide and turned into the Division of Criminal Justice at the state level. They'll develop that data into a report to try and discern if there's any trends that surface from that data collection. And then I think that gives us a little better sense of what's happening in the state of Colorado.
Now, what about Senate Bill 218?
That bill has to do with when a peace officer has some verifiable circumstance of having misrepresented the facts, either in court or in an affidavit, that part of his or her personnel file will be disclosed to any future employer that the peace officer might seek a job from.
And the final bill that you were the author on was Senate Bill 219 relating to police reform. What is that bill about?
When there is a shooting, an officer-involved shooting, oftentimes there is the option for an agency to either invite in an independent evaluator, investigator of the officer-involved shootings. There are certain jurisdictions around the state that don't have that as their standard protocol. This creates a state standard of saying that we will have independent review from an outside agency.
That was KBNF's Laura Pomisano speaking to Republican Senator Ellen Roberts of Durango. Her district covers eight counties on the Western Slope. The comment period for the roadless rule exception ends today. The roadless rule is a state law that protects certain areas from development. It provides strong protections for over a million acres of Colorado land, preventing any industrial use. Certain parts of that law, though, don't apply to the North Fork area. Philip Denzins with the U.S. Forest Service says the exception to the rule was made for coal mining.
So the purpose of the specific exception that we're talking about, the North Fork coal mining area, would be to allow for the construction of temporary roads that would be necessary if mining were to take place, coal mining were to take place underground in that area, because they would have to drill and vent methane gas to provide for a safe mining operation below ground there.
That's how things stood for a few years. Last fall, a federal court struck down the roadless rule exception.
The District Court of Colorado came down with a ruling that vacated both this exception to the Colorado roadless rule as well as lease modifications that had been made in the same area and would have facilitated the actual mining activity to take place. So the court vacated both of those, both the rule exception and the lease modification, due to what they described as NEPA analysis deficiencies in our greenhouse gas evaluation and analysis.
The mine that was looking to expand was Arch Coal's West Elk Mine. That expansion was put on hold because of the court's ruling. The Forest Service isn't looking at that expansion right now, but their decision on the exception could prevent any development from that mine. The end of the comment period won't be the final input window for the decision. Denzin says there will be a few more public comment periods. As this one draws to a close, he estimates they've received tens of thousands of comments. They plan on going through each one and releasing the first environmental impact statement this fall. The Bureau of Land Management is looking to fill some vacancies in their Southwest Resource Advisory Council. It's a council made up of citizens that bring input to the BLM. This is BLM spokesperson Shannon Borders.
We have a 15-member citizens advisory panel, and that panel is comprised of 3-year terms, so we're looking for 5 members of the public to help us advise us on public lands issues.
They're looking for citizens from the ranching and energy sector, conservation organizations, and local government. The 5 members will have the ear of BLM management on large projects.
We depend on them for their insight, but we also spend a lot of time educating them and helping them understand our projects so that they can take it back to their publics and keep them educated as well.
The deadline for applications is June 18th. Lawmakers are hoping the state has a better shot of predicting wildfires next year with a bill signed into law Wednesday. Benta Berkland has more.
A contingent of lawmakers in both parties spent the entire session working on a compromise. House Bill 1323 streamlines literacy tests in the early grades, allows for paper and pencil options for standardized tests, and reduces high school testing. Democratic Senator Andy Kerr of Lakewood sponsored the bill.
The testing regime that was in place was burdensome, and we needed to cut back on it. We heard that loud and clear, and so we worked to do that.
The bill would also create a pilot program for local districts to create their own assessments and possibly use them instead of the state assessments. Some lawmakers, parents, and teachers wanted it to go farther, but the governor wanted to maintain a strong system of assessments to measure student growth. I'm Benta Berkland in Lakewood.
The weather of the past few weeks has been a stark contrast to what the Western Slope has seen so far this year. To talk more about it, KVNF's Jake Ryan spoke with Joe Ramey, a forecaster for the National Weather Service in Grand Junction.
So, to start off, here's a question I didn't think I'd be asking. When's the rain going to stop?
Well, you know, as we look at the 7 to 10 day forecast for this region, it looks like it's not going to stop anytime soon. So we have yet another storm that's into the California region, and it's slowly going to track across the Great Basin through the weekend and maybe even be enhanced on Memorial Day by another little low-pressure system. So right into next week and probably through next week, we're going to have showers in the region.
Is this normal for this time of year, or is this the climate making up for our past few months?
Well, the climate signals have been indicating that we'd have a wet spring. We are at our 7th wettest May on record here at Grand Junction.
That was KVNF's Jake Ryan talking with forecaster Joe Ramey. June and July are forecasted to be wetter than normal. As of yesterday afternoon, Kebler Pass is now open. The pass between Paonia and Crested Butte is not paved, though, so officials warn that it may be wet and muddy. Four-wheel drive is recommended. The full closures of Highway 133 are also over for now. The highway will still be single lane near Paonia Reservoir for the rest of the summer. Stay tuned for Western Slope Skies, followed by the Feel Good Friday Morning Music Mix with your host, P. Gibby. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.